Welcome back to our Coaching Essentials program. Today we are going to be presenting one of the most important topics, and I feel like I say that on every call because everything is so important, but one of our most popular, best response, money-making, critical things that we teach you, and that is called 18 Relentless Lead Follow-Up Rules. Not just lead follow-up rules, relentless lead follow-up rules.
Well, you know, Julie, it's funny that everything we do talk about is important, but this truly is probably one of the top three most important things they're going to learn in this class, because at the end of the day, you can be the world's greatest lead generator, and you could be doing all kinds of different things and have all sorts of different spokes that are creating consistent lead flow for you, but if you are not really effective in knowing what questions to ask and what order to ask them when it comes to lead follow-up, well, guess what? All those leads are for naught. In other words, you're going to be one of these agents that basically has to have 100, 200 leads per one closed transaction. Realistically, once you have your lead follow-up rules memorized, internalized, and you're actually practicing them, there's an idea, you're going to find that you need to talk to vastly fewer, 3 to 5 people for every one closed transaction. So there's 18, and there's probably maybe during this call we'll think of two more, but there's 18 very clearly defined, easily understood lead follow-up rules. And we want you to, obviously you have the notes for today's presentation, but we want you to follow up. This is going to end up being a two-part presentation, so Julie and I are going to get through point 1 through 9 on this presentation, and then obviously 9 through 18 on the next one. Think about what we're saying. Don't just sit there and just digest the information and, you know, have it float around your brain. Actually think about how you're going to apply each of these points to your business. And again, these points are critical, because lead follow-up, guys, truly lead follow-up is the secret sauce in real estate. And we're going to obviously elaborate on that quite a bit more. So, Jules, let's jump right in.
That's right. So we'll call this our bonus point before we get to point number one, because it kind of summarizes the essence of everything. The rule is this. You must follow up daily on all leads of all types until they either A, list or buy with you, or tell you they're listing or buying with someone else, or B, they file a restraining order because you're following up so well and so consistently.
Well, obviously, the second part is a joke, and I always have to say that every time Julie and I say that.
Somebody will take it too seriously. That's kind of the point, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. But so many of you have it in your mind that, I don't want to call them, or I don't want to
follow up with them.
I don't want to bother them. I don't want to blah, blah, blah. But what you're really telling them is you're just really not that aggressive. Now, if you're wanting to list their house and you're not being aggressive with their lead follow-up, what real impression are you leaving with them about, frankly, your ability to aggressively pursue the highest price and best terms for them? All kinds of subconscious, subliminal thoughts going on in people's heads that work against you if you're not aggressive at following up with leads. So here's a little statistic I'm going to throw at you, and then we're going to get to the first point. So every single study that's ever been done, and this is not just for real estate, this is for any kind of sales, shows that it's usually about 87% of the time folks will work with the first salesperson they meet. Now, the caveat to that is the first salesperson they meet, where that salesperson follows up. So it's one thing for you to hold an open house, meet somebody who's interested in buying a house, hit it off, and then, you know, you follow up, and you follow up consistently, and you follow up aggressively, and you use our scripts, you determine their motivation, and you sell them a house, versus the agent who just, well, you know, they signed in, and I guess if they're interested, they'll call when they're ready. Right, exactly. You know, so guys, the secret sauce in real estate, it definitely is how aggressive and effective you are at following up with your leads. Now, what you need to know and what you're going to learn during these next two sessions is the questions to ask and in order in which to ask them. So, Julie, let's get to the first point.
Okay, perfect. So, point number one, relentless lead follow-up means that the goal is to feel like you might possibly be, quote, over-communicating with the prospects. In reality, it's impossible to over-communicate with prospects or even existing clients. The number one complaint listed in a recent NAR survey of hundreds of recently closed real estate clients was lack of communication and follow-up by my realtor. Now, most agents would have guessed a commission or something like that, but no, it's lack of communication and follow-up by my realtor. That's the number one complaint. So your challenge, this is a standing challenge I have to all students, Tim, I want to get a call here one day. Somebody asking for me, saying, what in the world are you teaching this person? because they keep calling me and trying to help me. Would you make them leave me alone? That's my challenge, to try to over-communicate, because
you know,
I don't think it's possible.
You know, Julie, I'm going to throw something in here, because I'm thinking back to some of our personal coaching clients, our advanced and breakthrough coaching clients. And by the way, guys, if you guys are interested in pursuing having Julie or I or one of our coaches as one of your as your personal one-on-one coach, all you've got to do is just email Julie and I directly. Julie's email address is coachjulieharris@gmail.com, J-U-L-I-E-H-A-R-R-I-S. @gmail.com, and mine is coachtimharris@gmail.com. But, you know, the funny thing that got me thinking is how many agents are listening right now who basically put all these rules through their own personal filters. So, for example, I bet you at least half of you listening to us right now are thinking, well, you know what, I don't like it personally when someone follows. Okay, you know what I'm getting at here, right? So you basically have already rationalized, based on your own personal preferences, how you're going to treat your prospective real estate clients. You need to get that out of your head, because the simple fact is that when someone is interested in buying or selling a house, they do want somebody who's professional. They do want somebody who's going to be aggressive at following up with them. Ask yourself, the last time you made a major purchase, and some of you it's been a while, some of you it was yesterday, that would be a car, a house, a boat, a plane, whatever. Okay? Did you buy from the first salesperson you met with? Probably, assuming that salesperson followed up with you, right? So the key here is not just obviously being in front of as many people as you can, but once you have attracted those leads to you, then you obviously have to be relentless with your lead follow-up. Point number two, Jules.
Okay, perfect. So point number two is be the one who follows up, quote, the one who follows up. Many agents make the initial call or contact, but almost no one follows up. Guess who makes more money between the two? Here's a very salient example. When a house expires, a listing expires, everyone calls. Everyone who prospects expires, you know, the seller will tell you that. I got a ton of calls today. However, if they don't get the appointment on that initial first try, 99% of realtors give up, lose the lead, or convince themselves that the customer is not motivated.
Yeah, that's the other thing, right? Oh, I don't I don't want to follow up with them because I might find out that indeed they're not actually in the market to buy or sell real estate. You know, all these little subconscious.
Rather make stories up about them.
That's exactly right. Yeah, but that's a really good point, though. I mean, so think about all that, guys. I mean, think about what your own behaviors are with leads. Now, this next point I think is really important. Point number three, schedule your relentless lead follow-up daily. No excuses. You must, each and every day, knowing that you have to have all your leads in one place, and you have to have basically knowledge that you're communicating with all of them every single day. Now, let's really drill down on what we mean by that. You can read Julie's further details there in the notes. So a lot of you have these preconceived notions about how many times you're going to follow up with a lead. So some of you have been following these ridiculously elaborate, overly analytical 3-3-2-2-1-5-5-6-6. Okay.
Right.
So here's – I'm going to make all this
real – decoder ring for all the rules.
Exactly. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? So I'm going to make this really pure for you. Lead follow-up – oh, I'm about to offend some people, but that's okay because you guys need to know the truth. Emailing is not included in lead follow-up. Nope. Emailing is not included. Dripping listings – or dripping CMA reports or dripping anything via email is not lead follow-up. It's not. It never will be. A phone call is lead follow-up. Okay, the other thing that a lot of you get stuck on was, well, Tim, how many times should I call? Go back to Julie's original point. You call until they list with you or somebody else, or buy with you or somebody else, or they file a restraining order against you. In other words, there's no limit to how many times you'll call them. If you do not get them in the morning, you call them in the afternoon. If you don't get them in the afternoon, call them in the evening. If you don't get them in the evening, call them on Saturday. By the way, Saturday morning before noon is a great time to do lead follow-up. Be aggressive. They list with you or buy with you or somebody else, or they file a restraining order against you. Get it? Those are your rules. And
that's right. You know, the thing is that I joke about agents making stories up about their prospects because, you know, I hear this a lot. I call them three times. Well, what time did you call them? Well, between 10 and noon is my lead follow-up time every single day. I schedule it like you said. Okay, that's great. That's a great start. But if every time at 10 a.m. you call them and you hit their voicemail, probably they're at work. We want them to be at work because they might be buying with you and they need the job, right?
Right.
Right. Okay, so use your head. A weekday evening and a Saturday morning are also golden opportunities to actually find people who seem unfindable. But instead, agents like to make up the story that they were blown off because they're never home, and I think the house must be vacant.
Okay, Julie, we're getting a little off script here, but does a voicemail count as a lead follow-up contact?
Though you should leave voicemail, and we'll talk about that, it does not count as actual contact.
That's right. Be clear about that. Guys, I know some of you who are, you know, comfortably rolling down the river of passive, right? You
good,
don't want
like
to actually contact anyone. You want to make it so your automated systems and your bots and your 33221 direct mail and all this other
magically
stuff
magically find you.
Magically, you know, basically churns business for you. It doesn't work like that. It just doesn't. Yeah, okay.
You would know if it did, because how many people are in your drip system, the collective you? There's thousands of them, right? So if it worked, all of you would have at least 20 times the business, right?
Okay, so Julie, we're going to do a confession. Ready for a confession?
Sure.
So as you guys know, Julie and I used to sell real estate, and we sold a lot of it. Now, this was back in the mid-90s, and I remember when the first rendition of an IDX system came out.
I remember too.
Okay, because you know what I'm about to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but here's the little caveat to it. You couldn't actually email people their IDX results.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yes. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
So what we used to have to do is we would get, and Julie and I are only in our 40s, and it's really not that long ago that, mm-hmm. you know, how much technology has advanced. So we would have different buyer leads come in from different sources, from different things we were doing. And then we would enter in into a database, and the database then would go into the MLS once a week, and it would churn out any new listings that matched their criteria. But like I said, it wasn't synced up to email then, so you literally had to print off the pages, stuff them in an envelope, and mail them. Now, we had hundreds probably of people that we were literally having to, you know, mail these lead these
snail
listings
mail.
To the snail. Okay, do you know how many transactions we did from that after probably 7 or 8 months? Zero. Now,
yeah.
A lot of you,
and that was even more direct than email, because at least you know it's going through the mail.
A lot of you are in love with the idea that you could enter a big list of buyers into some sort of lead follow-up automated system that's, you know, doing all these different touches, and, you know, maybe some of those people will float to the top. Well, maybe some of them will, but it's not something you can build a business on. Your business, your success will always be dependent on your ability to effectively communicate, follow up with prospects. That's it. This is a contact business.
That's
your,
right.
Your ability to ask the right questions in the right order consistently. In other words, phone calls, in-person contacts, that's what matters. That is the difference.
Voice to voice.
Yes. Belly to belly, as they used to
say.
That's
right. So, you know, the last part of point number three is, this is so important that you should no longer actually claim that you, quote, worked any day that you skipped your lead follow-up.
That's right.
This okay. is your core real estate work.
Point number four, and this is something, again, that some of you I know who are so in love with all these fancy automated systems. And you know what, guys? I'm in love with them, too. But I'm not going to fool myself into believing that's ever going to replace what we're supposed to be doing, which is directly communicating, speaking with people. So, Julie, what is point number four?
So point number four, Tim, is keep all of your leads in one place using one system. Don't draw them on your hand part of the time, use a napkin part of the time, email them to yourself, you know, whatever. One place using one system. Recommended, super simple, old school 3x5 card system. Or Top Producer, which almost all of you have and have paid for years but don't know how to use. Top Producer has some great training systems, so it doesn't take long for you to actually use what you've been paying for. Or any number of free, inexpensive ways of doing this. The point is, decide what it's going to be and use it once and for all.
The way that we have all of our personal coaching clients do it, though, guys, the ones that Julie and I are working with or one of our coaches are working with directly, is 3x5 cards. Again, why 3x5 cards? Because you can write all of their contact information on one side, and on the other side, you can write basically what the summary of your previous conversation was. And you can date it, and you can write when you're going to follow up with them next.
You can carry it around with you. You don't have to plug it in, you know, all of that good stuff. So
you don't have to learn it.
You don't
have to worry about syncing it.
Exactly.
You don't have to worry about upgrading it.
All these extras. And, the, you know, all of that extra stuff is what causes agents to avoid doing it. is they know that all these leads are sitting there, but they can't remember the password to the system that holds their leads.
Now, if some of you want to put them in some sort of IDEX thing where you can send them listings, that's fine.
But that's support to the communication.
Exactly. Okay, so the first thing that has to happen is you have to be getting into the habit of every single day calling all of your leads. You should have a minimum standard of every single day of contacting probably at least 30% of all of the leads that you have, which for some of you won't be a problem because you don't have any leads. But we're going to be talking about your real estate spokes here very shortly. And when we do so, you are going to have a lot of leads, probably more leads than you've ever had before. Remember, when those leads come in, pre-qualify them using our buyer script, and then write all their contact information down, and then call them on a regular basis. You should have a goal, like I said, of contacting at least contacting is a communication with the decision-making adult.
About real estate.
It's not leaving a voicemail or sending an email. It's communicating, talking. Are you ready to buy or sell? Did you see the listing I just sent you? What questions do you have? Let's meet tomorrow at 10 o'clock so I can show you the new listing on Elm Street. That is what I'm talking about. Now, as you go through your leads, you're going to find that sometimes they're just not motivated, or they don't have an ability to buy. Following the system, you're going to get them to a lender, you're going to put them through the process, you're going to know exactly what's supposed to happen when. Your primary focus in your real estate practice has to be listings. Please don't be confused about that. You have to be focusing your best energies on pursuing listings. That's where your long-term financial stability comes from. Next point, Julie.
All right, so point number 5, enter all new leads into your dedicated system daily. The point of this is to get you more closely in touch with what you actually have without delay. So keep your system updated, and you'll be more likely to actually practice relentless lead follow-up. This, of course, means you'll make more money. So, again, we cannot emphasize enough, not only are you following up daily, but you're updating your system. Whether it's 3x5 cards or anything else, it is daily, so that you don't have to try and remember. And I know all of you know what we're talking about here. You know, you're trying to relax this weekend, and you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you go, God, I know I had some lead happen Wednesday night when I was at dinner. Where did I put that sticky note, right? So you come home from dinner on Wednesday night, you convert that to a lead, you talk to them, you put them in your Thursday morning lead follow-up, and you are closer to your leads. You've got to do this daily and do it in a dedicated system.
And remember, guys, your goal is not to be accumulating leads. Too many leads tells you that should tell you that you're not doing a very effective, very good job at effectively setting appointments. A lead, once you've communicated with them, especially a seller lead or a buyer lead, and you're using our script, should be setting appointments on usually the first contact. If you've got somebody that's in your system, say you have a really good first contact with them, but for whatever reason you're not able to set an appointment with them, but because they answer the questions in the right way, you want to keep them as a lead. So those are the types of people that you keep long term. And once you've got somebody who's like that, who shows signs of life of being a client for you, those are the people that go into your system. The folks that are basically not motivated, they don't answer the questions like they should. They're just kind of looky-loo types, which we certainly get a lot in the real estate market a lot of day. There's a lot of boomerang buyers, people that were, washed out of the housing market because of the bubble bursting and now coming back. A lot of those people are ready to buy, but unfortunately a lot of those people can't buy yet. If you've just done a foreclosure, you're going to have to wait 5 years before you buy another house. You really don't need to spend a lot of time with those people, do you? You already know that they can't buy. So basic rules here. When you follow the script and they answer all the questions to your satisfaction, they're motivated. Again, you go back to the first point that Julie made. You follow up with those people until they do business with you or somebody else, or they file a restraining order against you. Be very clear about that. That's the difference between the success that you have and the success that you will have once you follow this system.
So point number 6 is that leads are classified as either A, B, or C quality. An A lead is someone who will buy or sell with you in the next 45 days or less. We used to say 10 days or less, but now that financing is taking longer for most people to sort out, now that inventory is low in most parts of the country, all this depends on where you are, of course, but things are generally taking longer than they used to. So A leads are someone who will buy or sell with you in the next 45 days, ideally less. These people are to be called daily, concentrating on setting your next appointment. So when we leave, and we'll talk more about how to leave a message and all that kind of stuff in future calls, but when you're doing lead follow-up, it's with intent to set an appointment. It's not just, hey, I was thinking about you, how's it going? And we'll get into that again later, because the next stage is not just doing your lead follow-up, it's doing it and setting appointments, of course. But let's get back to our A, B, and C leads. A B lead is 45 to 90-day leads that have logical conditions. This can be something like a pending relocation contract with their employer, their apartment lease ending, their financing needing approval, or getting back from their honeymoon. The condition has to make sense, though, and have some sort of a time frame associated with it. These leads get called weekly to stay in touch, help them fix the condition if possible, and ensure that you will be the agent they use when the time is right. C leads are any of the following, and we really do not like C leads because they're kind of on the bubble. I don't even really like calling them a lead, but let's just define that. You've spoken with them before, but they quit responding. Maybe they are too far out in the future. Something's flaky about them. You suspect they're working with someone else. Maybe they're not really pursuing their financing if they're a buyer. And since C leads have lots of questions and uncertainty surrounding them, you've got to call them daily until you either upgrade them to an A or a B lead or cut them loose and stop calling them a lead. Three calls in this case should do the trick. Secret, always leave the door open on your last call in case they get unflaky, so they'll call you instead of someone else.
There is no sense of security, not really, guys, in a bunch of leads.
Leads on their own have zero value.
That's right. And here's a little secret for you. Everyone has your leads.
Yeah, that's the other thing, right? They are not your leads.
Right. If you think those buyers or those sellers are loyal to you, wrong.
Yeah.
They've called you and every other agent that you could
and
possibly think of.
And emailed you and everybody else online.
That's right. That
even goes, on your website and everybody else's.
That goes back to the reason why lead follow-up matters so much, because even though they've communicated with all these other people, I pretty much guarantee you that everyone else is just dripping on them, and no one wants to be dripped
sure.
on.
So the pressure to be great at lead follow-up, to be quick at your lead follow-up, and to be the most professional, that pressure has actually gone up quite a bit since there's so many different ways to see listings online and to email, you know, buyers back in our day, right, in the beginning of our day, you know, we didn't have these problems because way back when you would, and the grizzled veterans will relate to this, right, you'd carry that MLS book around under your arm, and that was your proprietary information. If they wanted to see a house, they had to go to you. There was no getting online and looking at the drip system. They had to sit down in your office, make a real appointment, and go see property.
A lot of you guys don't know that. The MLS data listings were not online. They were only available if you went to a broker. I mean, imagine that.
In a lot of ways, that was better for the relationship because it was forced communication.
Well, absolutely. But some of you knock your heads against walls and spend tons of money on branding and marketing and all this other stuff trying to make yourself seem different in the marketplace. The easiest, quickest, and most powerful way to truly make yourself different in the marketplace is being really good at lead follow-up.
I know. It's kind of counterintuitive, right? It seems like if you had the shiniest, best website and this and that, that would be enough to make you different. But it's not. It's the communication that makes you different.
We can talk endlessly about people that waste money on marketing and branding and all that, but they have low sales skills and terrible lead follow-up skills. Guys,
and low volume as a result.
Well, exactly. It does not matter how pretty shiny your marketing is and how prominent your brand is. If you're not good at lead follow-up and if you don't, frankly, know what to say, essentially in the right order in which to ask, you're not going to do very much business, and you're just going to have essentially blown a bunch of money on ego marketing. Just a fact, guys. Some of you are offended right now, and if you're offended by what I'm saying, it's because I'm saying it to you, and you need to listen and think about that, right? How many leads is your branding and your marketing and all the rest of it actually attracting to you? And if you're not doing at least a 5x return on whatever it is that you're spending from your postcards and your whatnot, ask yourself, well, is it because I'm not very effective at my lead follow-up? Is it because I'm not doing a very good job of aggressively pursuing people? Is your ego standing in the way because you don't want to be perceived as a salesperson? Or you're thinking, well, they don't want to be aggressively followed up because that isn't what I like. Guys, you've got to really, really question yourselves as to maybe the reason that you're not selling more houses is simply because you made it too difficult on yourself.
Yeah, I will never forget. You know, I was pursuing some kind of call that had been scheduled, and where I was trying to reschedule with a real estate client, coaching client, and it was the craziest voicemail roundy-round ever. So you call her cell phone, and her cell phone says, "Don't leave a message here. Call my office phone." You call the office phone, and it says, "Call her cell phone." It's like, I cannot win, right? And if I, as her coach, can't find her, how could a buyer or a seller ever find her? So we had a little conversation about communication and how to make transactions a little bit easier to happen. You know, and that's on just the most micro level. You bring up an interesting point, Tim, about, and I don't think we've talked about this in any other place yet. A lot of agents say or claim that they have a lead generation problem, when in fact it's a lead follow-up challenge, right? So almost everyone on this call, unless they're brand new or maybe they're a recovering REO agent or something like that, every agent actually does have leads. It's what you're doing with them and how quickly. So until you are super in touch and have practiced relentless lead follow-up, these 18 rules that we're giving you, for at least 60 to 90 days on the existing leads in your pipeline, you're not really qualified to claim that you have a lead generation problem until you know what you've already got.
Well,
does that make sense, Tim?
It does. And you know what? We're getting away from our script, as we always do, and hopefully we're doing this for your guys' benefit. We're purposely having these conversations, trying to trigger thoughts in your minds that will cause you to be more productive and make more money. So here's a little interesting thought, and this is a trend. I don't believe it's going to last forever, but it certainly is a trend of buying buyer leads. Mm-hmm. You guys have heard me rant on this before. I'm not going to rant on this much today. But the idea that you guys are spending your money for a buyer lead is insane. It is insane that you're doing that, because buyer leads are the easiest things in the world to get if you have a property for sale or, frankly, if you have a property for lease. Now, we're going to get to, and I'm really looking forward to, talking and presenting to you guys about the different income-generating spokes, i.e., the marketing ways you can generate leads. But here's a thought for you. A lot of you are spending $200, $300, $400 a month for some online lead generation system, and, you know, what do you get for it? You're getting a certain number of leads, and you're saying, well, some of these leads aren't any good. And it's true, a lot of them aren't. But the reality of it is a lot of them are if you just were more effective at your lead follow-up, okay? Even if you're not going to, and I strongly encourage you to stop doing all paid lead generation, literally stop spending money for buyer leads. Put your money towards, again, I'm venturing into the, you know, lead generation conversation, but put your money towards your obvious education and improving your ability to list properties. If you
listing agents never have problems with buyer leads.
No, I mean, it's like our first broker said to us back in the 90s, right? You know, he said, Rory Averill in Columbus, Ohio, he said to us, you know, if you want buyer leads, just list a house. Then you have to beat the buyers off with a stick.
It's really true.
It was true. So listen, we'll go back to the, I'm looking forward to the lead generation conversation. My mind is wandering that direction, but we obviously have to stay on lead follow-up, so I apologize.
No worries. So it's all related, of course. Number 7, do leave messages when you follow up. Some of you, through various quasi-coaching training, have been told to not leave messages. I have no idea where that came from, but yes, of course you want to leave messages. If you don't, the prospect will never know that you were looking for them and trying to help them, and of course they may conclude that you are not interested in working with them.
Now let's talk about the messages as you leave. If you're calling a buyer lead and you're following up the buyer lead, let them know in the voicemail, without giving too much information, that there is a new listing, and yes, there has to be a new listing. Certainly don't deceive them, but there is a new listing that you're excited to share with them, and it's coming for sale. Maybe it's a pocket listing, maybe it's yours, maybe it's your broker's, maybe it's another agent's. It doesn't matter. You have to offer them an enticement to call you back. Now, if it's a seller, same thing, but you're excited to let the seller know about some recent activity that will directly positively impact the value of their home. And so what does every seller want? The highest price. What does every buyer want? Access to listings. So when you're leaving voicemails, guys, don't just leave your name and number. Nobody's going to call you back. You have to give them a reason to call you back.
Perfect. There are actually 3 parts to a great voicemail message in lead follow-up, and I need to add this to our outline here. Part number 1 is easy. You must have energy and enthusiasm. Sound like somebody that you would want to call back. A lot of agents, when I role play it with them, they sound like beaten down dogs, or they're depressed, or they're mad, or that you can tell that they hate doing their lead follow-up. That's not going to work. You got to be dying to talk to this person to help them with your best expertise. You are fascinated by their situation, even if you're not. It's okay. It's called sales, right? So have tons of energy and enthusiasm. You can't wait to meet with them. They need to call you back. So number 1 is energy and enthusiasm. Sound like someone that someone would want to do business with. Number 2, Tim, to your point, is something of value. for a listing, for a buyer, something that has value. And number three, a call to action. What do you want them to do? You want them to call to schedule to see that new house that just came on the market. It's going to be one of your major competitors when we list your home. Or maybe the buyer has been dying to get that three-bedroom, two-bath in a certain neighborhood. This just popped up. I want to make certain that we are the first to be in that door tonight. I've got 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock available. Which is best for you? Call me immediately. Not just, hey, I was thinking about you. Give me a call if you feel like buying something.
Yeah. Guys, think about what Julie just said, those three simple points. You know, the funny thing is when a lot of the stuff we present to you guys, after you've heard it, I have a feeling a lot of you are saying, well, that seems like common sense. Well, yeah, it is. It's common
right.
sense. I mean, if you want to sell something to somebody, you have to sound like somebody that those people would want to actually talk with, let alone do business with. You know, and you're going to have to give them a reason to want to do business with you. And that, in our business, is basically the unique service that you provide. But really, what they truly want is access to the information that you have. That's what you're being paid for. Don't be confused about that, please.
Right, but make it easier for them to deal with you.
Right, exactly. By the way, the last call to action that Julie just said, or rather when you're telling them what to do at the end of your voicemail, you've got to have it be your cell phone number. Don't tell them to email
right.
you. Don't start
no
any
elaborate processes.
You want to have a conversation. And again, going back to all this other goofy training that's out there, if somebody emails you, it means they only want to communicate with you over email. Wrong. Somebody emails you, you get their phone number, and you call them. All the other realtors will be emailing them, and they'll never hear back from that potential client because you're the one that picked up the phone. You're the one that called them. Mr. Seller, I appreciate the email I got from you about my new listing at 123 Elm Street. Fantastic house. Everybody's calling about it. I expect it to be sold shortly. What's the phone number where I can call you, where I can give you the other information about other properties I know are coming for sale that might directly affect your home's market or list price? Those types of things, right? And then call them. Emailing it's not the same as a phone call. Never will be, never has been.
Right. Email and wait. How's that working out?
Yeah, exactly.
Not good. Why does email not count? Well, you don't even have a guarantee that they got it or opened it. It could be sitting in their spam folder or their trash. Who knows, right? There's no guarantee with that. So number eight, stop believing that they will, quote, call when they're ready. It's your job to relentlessly, urgently, and professionally follow up. We've mentioned this a couple of times on this call, but get clear that it's actually your job to follow up. And never in the history of real estate has someone, quote, called when they're ready. You know what they do? When they're ready, which happens on days that you're not necessarily tuned into unless you're doing your lead follow-up every single day. They get their loan approval today. They go right over to new construction, fall in love with the house, and write it through that new build model.
That's right. That's what they do.
Or they go out this weekend to an open house. What happens then?
You know, it is unbelievable, guys, how simple the process is of essentially buying and selling real estate. It's not difficult. All you have to do, your only mission in life, is to get between the seller and the buyer. That's it. That's
right.
How you
insert
get paid.
Insert yourself in the transaction.
That's right. And you're making, and then you get paid. In a lot of cases, some of you guys are making millions or will be making millions of dollars. Just get in the middle. That is your mission in life.
Yeah, somebody's at a party tonight. Their neighbor mentioned that they made more on their house than they ever thought they were going to. That inspires that next person to decide to list this weekend. And if you haven't talked to them in the past 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, but you thought that they were going to call you because they're in your drip system,
uh-oh,
you're going to lose.
We're moving on to point number 9, unless we haven't grinded this point already into the ground.
No, we kind of fast-forwarded on that one.
Julie and I are going to have a conversation between coach and coach. There is nothing more annoying than having a coaching client with a bunch of leads who's telling you that they're just entering them into some dumb drip system.
Oh, I know. I just want to hang up when I hear that.
I mean, but seriously, guys, in the message you're sending to those clients, the message you're sending to the universe.
They're not important enough.
It's, exactly. I'm just going to, you know, guys, those systems were cool 10, 15, 20 years ago. Now what's cool is picking up the phone.
Yeah, think how good you feel. Think how special you feel when you get a handwritten card where somebody was thoughtful enough to write you a little note, I was thinking about you, even if it's a holiday card, right? Who does that anymore? And a lot of you guys will criticize, well, I can do everything via an e-card. Okay, well, how much effort did that take?
And they know it. And they know it. So a phone call is 10 times more personal than even a handwritten card.
Yeah, it matters more, not less. That's the counterintuitive part, right?
Right. So if everyone else, guys, this is how successful business owners think. Right? All of you must think this way. If everyone else is saying do this, you don't do that. You do the exact opposite.
Exactly.
So if everyone's saying drip system, email this, you know, advertise on this website or buy your buyer leads from here, or do all this fancy, you know, 14, 22, whatever. Okay, everyone's doing that. You know you cannot be doing that. You do the exact opposite.
Well, here's a secret. By the time some of you have taken the time to enter it into your drip system and something has dripped through that person's email, the best leads, the ones who buy and sell immediately, are already in contract.
So point number nine, we really don't even need to read it, but Julie, go ahead and read point number nine.
Point number nine, if you haven't guessed already.
Yeah.
Stop relying on your drip system to make you money. Turn your drip system into a gushing fire hose of appointments through actual communication. Email doesn't count. In-person appointments or over-the-phone conversations do count.
So we talked throughout this call about using our buyer pre-qualification script. And there's questions in the buyer pre-qualification script. You guys all need to download it. You need to use the questions in the order in which we ask them. But I'm going to go through a little role play where I'm going to play both the buyer and seller. So you guys can just hear, like, I'm not even doing the questions in order, to be honest with you. But these are just I'm just taking a few of the most important questions so you guys can understand the power of asking the right questions in more or less the right order. So obviously somebody calls in. So whenever anybody calls in, well, you want to role play with me, Julie? You can be the buyer just to make it
sure,
easier.
Sure, I'll be the buyer.
Okay. Hi, this is Tim Harris. You know what, guys? I'm going to even make it better for you. A little advanced coaching here. 1-800-HOME-HOTLINE.com. We mentioned this before, and I always tell you guys when we have any involvement in any of the businesses we suggest, and that one we own half of. But 1-800-HOME-HOTLINE.com, check it out. So what happens is on all of your listings, again, I can't keep myself from talking about lead generation. Listen to me.
No, because that's the next thing.
I'm excited about it. But in all your listings, guys, you're going to have this 800 number, and we're going to talk infinitesimally in great detail about how to do that. But let's assume that you have a listing, you put the 800 number on there, you set the recording up like we say, as part of that system, and then you're starting to get the buyer calls. So here's what happens. They call your 800 number. Someone's literally parked in front of your listing. They call on their cell phone. They call the 800 number about that particular listing, okay, and then they're hearing a recording. The recording goes somewhat like this. You're calling on 123 Elm Street. It's a great house in the Oakhurst subdivision. You're going to love the new kitchen in the fenced-in backyard. Perfect location to this, to that, to the other. Price in the mid-300s. Okay, press 0 now to schedule your own private tour. Now, they have heard the recording. Notice, guys, I gave them the price range. I didn't give them a price. They're then going to hang up their phone. This is how it works. Then what happens is when you're a subscriber to that system, it's only $35 a month, by the way, no matter how much time you use and no matter how many listings you have, so it's kind of a no-brainer. As soon as that person hangs up, or sometimes even before they hang up, you're going to be texted, SMS'd, whatever you want to call it, their return contact phone number. So, yes, your system has caller ID'd them and is sending you now the information about what listing they called on and their return phone number. And then you call them right back, and this is the script.
Okay, so hang on a second. So you just looked at your cell phone, and it said that you got a call. You'll know that I, the buyer, called, not just that I called, but I called on your listing on Oakhurst, which is that you know to be in the mid-300s, and it gives you my exact phone number.
That's right.
So you know something, you know more than you usually do about a colder type of a call. This is one of the advantages. You can call and identify what I'm asking about.
That's right. So the system tells you their name, usually their name, but it tells you their phone number, tells you what listing they called on, and then you simply call them back. Now, these systems have been around forever, and they will continue to be around forever because it works. And you could put this 800 number on your internet ads. You can put them on your Craigslist ads. You can put them on your signs. You can put them on your brochures. You can put them everywhere.
Yeah, see, this is different than drip because this is an immediate lead follow-up system.
That is the key here, what I'm about to share with you. And this one little thing, and you've listened to our superstar interviews, and every single superstar, every single long-term coaching client of ours, they'll tell you that what I'm about to tell you, this one little thing combines all the best practices, quick lead follow-up, to-the-point lead qualification, and very effective marketing. And by the way, it's dirt cheap at $35 a month, no matter how many listings you have. So here's the callback. So I've called Julie back. She's the buyer. And I simply say, hi, Julie, this is Tim Harris with ABC Realty. As a courtesy, when people call our 800 number, we like to give them a quick call back to see if they have any questions about the home they called about.
Oh, hi. I was just over in the Oakhurst area, and I was wondering the price on 123 Oakhurst.
Oh, you know what? That is an excellent house. Everyone's calling on that one. Let me check to make sure that one's still available. By the way, which house in the neighborhood are you thinking about selling?
Well, we have a little condo down the street, and we don't know if we're going to keep it as a rental or maybe sell it. We don't know yet. What's the price on Oakhurst? Because that's going to make a difference to us.
Okay, guys, I'm going to stop right there. Now, there's 11 questions that follow that. Question 9, if I remember correctly, is, by the way, Julie, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, in other words, if I were to show you the exact house that you wanted to buy, and maybe it's this one on Oakhurst, where would you rate your motivation to purchase?
Well, if it was the right one, it'd be a 10, because I got to tell you, we cannot have another kid in this little condo.
A 10, excellent. Okay, now, if Julie had said 7, say 7, Jules.
We're just kicking tires, so I'd say we're probably about a 7 right now.
Now, they don't usually say we're kicking tires, but they will say, well, we're probably a 7, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then the follow-up question would be, a 7, that's fantastic. So let me ask you, Julie, what would it take to get you to a 10?
Well, I think we'd probably have to figure out our financing and really get a better feel for what we should be looking at.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say, and guys, this is all in that initial phone call, by the way. So what I'm hearing you say, Julie, is that provided the financing made sense and provided the condo that you currently have is sold, that you would be ready to move forward and you'd rate yourself as a 10, provided those two things are taken care of.
Yeah, I think we'd be more comfortable then, sure.
Okay, so guys, we're going to end there. Now, again, there's like 11 questions, 12 questions in the buyer prequal script.
We'll do this more in depth in other calls. This
right.
is kind of a prequel to some of that stuff.
Exactly, it's a prequel. But what I'm doing is I'm showing you guys the questions that we've written. Now, one of you or many of you are now saying, Tim, what the hell was that question that you asked right when you got Julie on the phone? Here it was again. Write this down, and this needs to become the first question you ask every single buyer that ever calls on any of your properties from now and forever. By the way, which house in the neighborhood are you thinking about selling? You don't ask. You certainly don't give them the price or anything about the house.
I still don't know the price.
You're exactly. You have to find out specifically if they're thinking about selling. Why? Because your job as a successful real estate agent, as a Tim and Julie Harris real estate coaching client, is to learn how to be a listing agent. And one of the little secrets that powerful listing agents know, that you now know or are about to know, is that something like 30 to 40% of all the phone calls you'll get from that listing once it's put for sale are neighbors checking the price. And the other thing is, which I love, are homes that are listed that are about to expire and they're checking the price. Soon as that sign goes in the yard, that is absolutely positively the golden opportunity to generate more business for yourself. I know some of you right now are hearing Julie and I talk about this, and this is our lead follow-up rules call. We're about to end this one. We're going to give you the next 9 points on our next presentation. But I'm trying to motivate you to realize how relevant having these rules for yourself are, because you're going to be generating a lot more leads than you ever have before. You need to follow our rules, use our scripts. That way you're not collecting leads, you're collecting paychecks. I think that sounds better.
Yes. So I like how you're kind of tying all this together, right? It's important that you guys understand why we're doing things in the order in which we're doing them in this coaching program. It wouldn't make a lot of sense to teach you a whole lot of lead generation before we were convinced that you knew what to do with leads.
Yeah.
So we're doing lead follow-up first. We're going to work you through a lot of lead generation, a lot of scripting. You got to understand this basic communication stuff, and I can just feel our grizzled veterans going, yeah, I've heard it all before. Okay, are you doing it? Right?
None of you are. That's
nobody.
The truth.
Nobody
None
is.
Of you are.
I mean,
right.
We had to learn this. We didn't just roll out of real estate school and know exactly how to follow up on a lead.
Well, but hold on here. That's Julie's playing the Ohio humble card.
Okay, we were desperate at the time, so we followed up on everybody.
We followed up on everybody, okay?
It was easier if you don't have any money.
I mean, when we were in our early 20s, we sold 100 houses our first
year.
Some of you guys know our story. Trust me when I tell you, we didn't really have that many skills. We were developing them.
We certainly didn't have a marketing budget.
But
we certainly weren't dripping anything on anybody.
That's for sure. But you know what we did better than anyone?
Followed up.
That's right. All right, Julie, let's wrap this call, and we're going to start the presentation on the next 9 rules on our next presentation. So I will look forward to speaking with all of you then.